turn me to Philippians, the second chapter. I want to continue talking about the will. Of course, we've been talking about it, saying this is the most important aspect of our soul, because our will is the thing that calls us to make decisions. Philippians 2, verse 13. Apostle Paul wrote, writing to the Philippians, and he said, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now look at verse 14. Verse 14, when I was reading this and meditating, I found it strange that the Apostle Paul would write this letter to the Philippians, and he said, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Then verse 14 says what? Do all things. Now, why would Paul make that statement after telling us, look, God wants to use you? All right, that's essentially what Paul's saying. God wants to use you. And he wants to get his will accomplished, what he wants accomplished through you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. He said, Philippians, in the second chapter of Philippians, he says, if Paul is telling him, God wants to use you and he wants to do his good pleasure. Then verse 14 says, do all things without. So now that means that God most times is going to tell you to do something that you don't want to do. Right?
Yes, sir.
Most times he's going to do that. Excuse me, I'm sorry, you all. I'm supposed to put this on mute. My apologies. Most times he's going to tell you to do something that is directly contrary to what you had planned.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now watch this. Now why? Don't be alarmed by that. Reason why we shouldn't be alarmed. Hope you listen to me. The reason why we shouldn't be alarmed by that is because, once again, in the Old Testament, it begins to talk about how his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now, I never said that we couldn't access his thoughts. Because in Isaiah 1:19 said, come what? Let us, 1:18, come let us reason together. So it's not that we can't access them, but we don't have God's original thoughts from the beginning. We have to obtain God's original thoughts. So in obtaining God's original thoughts, we have our own will that we have to deal with. So in obtaining God's original thoughts, we have made our own plans. Right? But we have to be willing to make adjustments as we renew our mind with the Word of God. Because when you renew your mind with the Word of God, it says it's going to put you in a position to where you can prove or recognize. Right? Recognize. So when I recognize something, I'm able to make adjustments.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this? So don't let nobody rain in your party because you don't know the will of God originally. Mm-hmm. It is the discovery that has to be made.
Right.
Now I read that scripture because, you know, Paul said God wants to use you. He created you to be so he can actually live through you.
Yes.
Right? And though that his good pleasure be accomplished. Right? And Paul said, do all things with what? Without. So, all right, don't complain about it.
Right?
Go with me to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. See, your soul, Apostle, been dealing with this a whole lot lately. Your soul blocks you a lot of times from going where God wants you to go. Not your spirit, your soul blocks you from going where God wants you to go. Watch in Hebrews, the 5th chapter. We're going to start. Let's start at the 11th verse. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are. All right. And now you're going to think it's based on your spirit. Your dull of hearing is not based on your spirit. Your dull of hearing is based on your soul. We're going to see why in a few moments. It's based on your soul. We're going to see in a few moments. Watch this. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Now, we have many. Here it is. The Apostle Paul is saying we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. So that means he's going to say some things that had not been said before. So that means that the will of God is going to be discovered where it wasn't discovered before. Are you seeing this? All right. Watch what he says. He says, verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. That means maturity should have taken place. Ye have need that one teacheth you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are becoming such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You seeing this? Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness. Let's define that. What it means, the word of righteousness. It simply means directions that come from God that gets it done his way. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is I'm in right standing with God. I'm not just in right standing with God just to be in right standing with God. Let's look at it this way. Righteousness is really saying I'm aligned with God. When I'm aligned with God properly, God can now flow through me. One of the things that Adam and Eve, what happened was when they ate off that tree, they became unrighteous. They were no longer aligned with God. So God could not communicate with them anymore on a level that would cause them to be used by him. This is the purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To redeem us from the curse of the law, to put us back in the righteousness of God. To back in alignment with God, that these things, watch this, these things that need to be uttered won't be hard to understand. Is this making sense? Watch this. He said in verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Other words, you can't get to God really using you because you can't get the first thing straight. This is why that message on hyper grace is so dangerous. Because the Bible said God is a holy God. So why is a holy God going to use unholy people? Because if a holy God uses unholy people to represent him, then there's going to be a misrepresentation. Watch this. I'm still dealing with the soul now. I'm still talking about the soul. He said, watch this. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. All right? So that means growth has to take place. Look what verse 14 says. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Watch this. Even those who by reason of use have their senses. Their what?
Senses.
No, their spirit.
Senses.
Their senses.
Yeah. Wow.
Not your spirit. So in other words, saying a mature person will be able to use their senses, their soul. Use their soul to discern both good and evil. Are you seeing this? So now if my mind is polluted, I'm not going to be able to discern. See, when we use that word discern, we go to gifts of discernment. We talk about, we think we jump into the spirit. No, matter of fact, I'm going to show you where the gift of discernment, watch this, the gift of discernment goes along with using the soul. All right, go to Acts. Well, Acts the 16th chapter. See, remember now, you got to remember what I said about your soul. Your soul is your spirit's eyes into the natural. And your spirit is your soul's eyes into the supernatural. So you got to have them working together. You can't have them to be arch enemies. They got to be working together. So just as much as my spirit needs to mature, my soul needs to mature. Acts the 16th chapter. Acts the 16th chapter. Oh, let's see. I think I had it right. Let me look for a minute. Let me see. I don't think I have it right. Let me look for it. Yeah, there it is. There it is. That's what I'm looking for. Look at verse 16, Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 16. Now watch this. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servant of the Most High God, was show unto us the way of salvation. Now here's somebody that is a psychic. This psychic is following Paul and Silas, saying these are the men of God. They gonna show you the way to salvation. So really, she ain't saying nothing wrong, right? Now watch what verse 18 said. And this did she, what?
Many days.
Why did Paul let this go on many days? Because Paul was exercising judgment. See, you don't seem spiritual because you do stuff right off the bat. That don't make you super spiritual because you get stuff done right off the bat. See, what we assuming is that Paul, day one, saw that spirit and cast it out. No, he didn't. It took Paul many days to watch his maturity begin to analyze the situation. Then once his maturity helped to analyze the situation, that's when his spirit got grieved. Are y'all seeing this? So it was after many days, then Paul got grieved and cast that spirit out. He watched her behavior, watched how she did things, watched how she talked, watched what she said, watched how she behaved. See, what happened is sometimes, you know, you don't really need to go into the spirit to see somebody possessed. You sit there and watch them for a few moments. You sit there, watch them for a few moments, watch their behavior, watch what they're doing, and you say they're possessed. Now what you need the spirit for is to know what to do. Go back to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. See, your senses, you ought to be able to mature your senses to be able to discern right and wrong. So watch this. If my senses are not able to determine right and wrong, why is God going to trust me with the harder things? That's why Paul started off. Go back to Acts. That's why he started off. That's why he started off. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Yeah. Dull of hearing simply means that your soul is cluttered. Yeah. That your soul is cluttered. And if I do tell you what I want to tell you, you're not going to hear it anyway. Because your soul is cluttered. You can actually physically hear the words and don't grab them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So your will, so when we go to Philippians, when you talk about Philippians 2 and 13, whereas God wants to use you, he wants to do his will and do his good pleasure. Then Paul said, do all things without what? Murmuring? And what?
Disputing.
And disputings. So that means God is sometimes going to tell you some things to do that you don't like to do. Right? But if you don't have control of your will, Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, and I'm almost finished. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Very familiar scripture. Now unto him, meaning God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we what?
Ask
or think. Now watch this. According to the what?
The power.
That worketh in us. Do you know what that power is? Some of y'all thought that was your spirit. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I think it's Psalms 139 where it says, I'm paraphrasing, y'all catch on to it, how my soul knoweth right well.
Yes, sir.
You know, a little bit further up, it says I was there when you put my bones together, when I was there. And then he said, oh, how my soul knoweth my spirit, right? Know it right well. Watch this. Some of y'all thinking that the power he's talking about is in your spirit, but that's in your soul. All right, what causes God to do things for us? Because Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? This says in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, right? According to the power that worketh in us, right? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye what?
First.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness and what?
And all these things
shall be added unto you. So Ephesians 3:20 is saying that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, right?
Yes, sir.
So in order for me to get God even to the position to do exceedingly above all that I ask or think, I have to be first willing to do.
Yes, sir.
So the power is in me that if Paul is talking about is my ability to make the decision to do what God is asking me to do, even when I don't like it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Nobody controls your will but you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, all of us have dislikes.
Right,
sir.
All of us have likes.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Your dislikes and likes is not based on the individual event, item, or whatever it may be. It's based on your experience with it.
Yeah.
For instance, I use myself as an example. I can't stand orange juice with pulp. I can't stand orange juice with pulp. I don't like it. You can't get me to drink it. I'm not having none of it. But then why some people can drink orange juice with pulp? Some people can drink orange juice with pulp because of the experience they had with it. So the experience they had with it formed positive thoughts in their mind. So they can drink. See me, I had good experience. I was gagging. I ain't like it going down my throat. Now, let me tell you something. I choose at this point in my life not to like it. Because if I wanted to, I can go train myself to like it. But I just don't want to.
Right.
So whenever God gives us instructions that we don't like, I have to train myself because I'm in control, the power. So watch this. This is how covenant, this is why covenant can be so important, because now when I'm in covenant, if my leader says something that I don't agree with, or have us going in a direction I don't agree with, not talking about sin, not talking about anything stupid, I'm talking about direction kingdom-wise. I don't like it, but what I'm going to do? I'm going to train myself.
Yes, sir.
So Paul in Ephesians 3:20, it tells God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that works in. So if I don't have control of my will, I go to Isaiah 1:18. I'm closing here. Isaiah 1:18. Here it is. We've read this scripture before, but this is very powerful. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So what God is saying, come let us reason together. Though your actions were going to be having you going the wrong, your actions were going to have you going the wrong way, I'm going to show you a better way. Now just because I show you a better way don't mean you're going to go that better way. You have to choose to go that way. So this is why Romans 12:2 is so important. Because I'm not going to be conformed to the world. Transform how? By the renewal of my mind. So that I am able to prove or recognize. Are you seeing this? So when my mind is renewed, when I recognize the will of God, I'm already empowered to go that direction. Because my mind is renewed. I am prepared that when I see God moving, it doesn't matter if I don't like the direction it's going in. Because I see God moving that way, I'm going that way. Is this making sense? See, so this is why your will is so important. Your soul is important. You can't let your soul sit on the sidelines and just focus on your spirit. Matter of fact, your spirit don't need much focus. Because I'm made in the image of God. If I'm made in the image of God, if I'm made just like God, in the image of God, the Bible said God is a spirit. Right. So I'm made in his image. That means I'm made, the most dominant part of me is my spirit. Yes, but my spirit don't have expression in the natural without my soul.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So that's why Paul was telling him in Hebrew, I got a lot of things to tell you, but I can't tell you because you're dull of hearing. Because you don't even use your senses. You haven't matured your senses to even be able to recognize right from wrong. Not your spirit. Your soul. Look at what the Amplified. I love what the Amplified Bible. I'm closing now. I said I'm gonna close, but I'm closing. Look at the Amplified Bible said. I want you to read this in the Amplified Bible. Let me get to it. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to divine or human law. Did y'all hear what I just said? So here it is. I'm supposed to use my soul to be able to recognize if this is a move of God or not. Because my soul is so trained. I can, because my mind is so in tune, my soul is so in tune with God that I can tell, everybody can be doing everything right. They can be singing right. They can be praising God right. But then I recognize, man, something ain't right. That's what Paul did. Paul said after many days, he became grieved. I mean, Paul was sitting there saying, okay, day two. Okay. Day three. Wait a minute. That ain't look right. Anybody? Day four. She ain't doing something right. Something ain't right. Till he got grieved. Then he shifted to the spirit to know what to do.
Yes, sir.
We all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So a lot of times, it's not about what your spirit recognizes, it's about what you recognize. When you have your, because watch this, when you're able to recognize, then God can begin to talk to you because he can tell you something, listen at me, he can tell you something directly contrary to what you want to do.
Wow.
And you have the power to change. You have a power to say, okay, God, I wasn't going this right direction. I thought I was going to go this direction. Okay, you say go this direction. Okay, God, I'm changing. Because I will to change. I'm not immature where I need to be fed milk, where somebody got to be patting me on my head and caressing me and telling me it's going to be okay. No, God, you say change, let's change.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this? That's when God can begin to use you, because remember now, Ephesians 3:20. Now I want to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Now God, the power that worketh in you, that's talking about your decision making. That's talking about your ability to recognize God moving and do it. Your ability to recognize God and go that direction. Because remember now, it's your choice. Nobody has control over your will but you. People can try to influence your will, but at the end of the day, you still made the decision. You can't blame nobody but you. Yeah, you may be influenced, you may have been coerced, but you still chose. So God is looking for people that are strong enough, that are mature enough, that when he speaks, if an about face change is necessary, I'm going to make the about face change on the dime.
Yes, sir.
No questions asked. God, we're going to do this. Because it's not about me, God, it's about you. Y'all have a good night.